Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Time now for the Dunn Tire Roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio, presented by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and brought to you by Rachel's, Rachel's Mediterranean Grill, Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break? Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. And by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Finally, by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Got it all in before the song ended. That's right.
It's
even
a
on a Friday.
Song. It's a very,
is
very
it?
Long song.
It's the free bird of jingles. Sal Capaccio with us. Salvatore, how are you?
I'm good. I'm well. How are you guys?
Fine. Nice day.
Fantastic, Sal.
It's been awesome. It was great to be out of practice today. It was a nice football day. Nice day to watch football. So, you know, I've been checking the weather for Monday. I think the rain is, the chances are a little bit less than what they have been. There's still a chance. But if the game had been played last night, guys, it would have been really wet because it came down for a while.
What do we want the weather to be for this game? You know, we're not going.
That's a good question.
Snow.
Good question.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'll be in the moat, Bulldog. Okay? Snow. I don't think so, pal.
Oh, whatever. Get one of those big furry Russian hats. You'd be all good. Don't worry about it.
You're right.
Snow for this game would have lasting effects for our reputation mid-October.
Right.
But it's, of course, happened. Sal, let's start with Le'Veon Bell. We don't need to talk about this for long. He did sign with Kansas City, which is the opponent. And, you know, I'm bringing it up not because of that, but because the Bills were a consideration, it seemed. You know, it's not really surprising, right, that he or anyone would pick the Chiefs with these options. What about – how do you read the Bills' interest in him?
I think a couple of different things. I'm going to take it from Le'Veon Bell's side first, essentially, which is I think it says a couple of things each way, which is for Le'Veon Bell to have the Bills in his final three, reportedly, I think shows where the organization is with somebody who would – of his stature, what he's been in the league, and – at this point of his career, thinking about maybe possibly winning a championship. I think it speaks volumes. That's great. I don't think we would see that in many other cases and in years past. Now, of course, the Miami Dolphins are there as well, and I don't think he's going to Miami to win a championship. If he does choose them, it's more about, you know, him having the opportunity and because he lives there. But be it as it may, there's only three teams, reportedly, that were in his final three and or you know, only three teams it came down to. And for the Bills to be one of those teams, I do think it speaks a lot to where the organization is right now in the eyes of other players and people around the league and how they feel this team is set up right now. And from the Bills side, as I said yesterday, this is a go-for-it move for a go-for-it mentality right now. That's where the Bills are. And I think it shows that they believe that they're really, truly contenders for even a conference championship. And maybe they're just missing a piece or two to put them over the edge, which is why they would consider doing something like that.
And how about for the Chiefs, like what you think he will mean to the Chiefs? I mean, the Chiefs are, like the Bills are coming, you know, they've got a nice group of skill players here. You know, we did notice that they really missed John Brown, we think, on Tuesday. But nonetheless, like, the Chiefs are more fully formed, right? I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kelsey, Hill, just go down the depth chart, Watkins, Hardman. I mean, they're just loaded with guys who can just take it to the house. What does Bell mean to the Chiefs?
I think he just adds another weapon you have to defend. It just makes it really hard to kind of think about where you got to put all your pieces on defense, how you have to play each situation and personnel grouping. You know, as much as we thought about how would the Bills do it if he came here, like how would they divide up, how would it work with Devin Singletary and Zach Moss in the backfield, I think it's actually more, from a football perspective, more of an intriguing question for Kansas City, because they do have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he is a really good rookie, and there are some issues. Now, I had the Chiefs sideline reporter on my web show last night, Josh Klingler, and he said, you know, even though Edwards-Helaire had that really nice game early on, there are some things he's struggling with, pass blocking being one of them. He hasn't had, you know, great games necessarily since then. He said, and I know that people kind of anointed him a little early here, but they could use a guy there to help out a little bit. And so from that perspective, I understand it makes sense. Maybe other people, maybe the league, we as media, have kind of overvalued Edwards-Helaire a little bit, and they felt that, you know, he hasn't taken that next step yet. But I do think it's interesting from Kansas City's point of view that they do have all these weapons, and he's not, I mean, you got to spread it around. Just like we talk about here with the Bills and things like that, you have all these guys that you don't want them to become a running team. But Le'Veon Bell just adds another headache, I think, to any defensive coordinator throughout the week planning for them.
Yeah, the thing to me that's appealing about him is that he can catch it. If he wasn't a guy with a reputation for catching the ball, I wouldn't care about him really at all for either of these teams. But I think Kansas City will, and I think the Bills would have used him, you know, out in the slot maybe as a receiver. You know, this may not turn into a question, but just to say, like, this idea that the Bills are in a win now situation, we had this a couple of years ago too. Hey, this might be a playoff team. Let's make a trade. And they did. And, you know, that's all right and fine and what I would do too. But they're more than that, aren't they, Sal? Like, they're also a team that looks like it should stay good.
I agree. That's a good point, Mike. You know what? It's a point that I would say to people about this whole COVID situation, which is, you know, whenever anybody would say to me, oh my gosh, here we are, we have this team, it's finally good, a chance to contend, we can't even have this regular type of season, which I would say, yes, you're right. And that really stinks for all of us. There's no doubt about that. I said, but if I can give you a little bit of solace, I think they're still going to be really good the year after this and the year after that. And it doesn't have to be this one year take it or leave it deal. I think the Bills are set up on a pretty good path here. I think they have the right quarterback. I think they're right financial structure as of right now. They still have draft picks. So I think they're in a really good spot. The age of the team, it's not really old. It's not super young anymore, but it's kind of right there. It's right there entering the prime. In fact, I'd say it's still on the younger end of prime than older end of prime for sure. So yeah, I agree with that, Mike. I think as much as Le'Veon Bell might have helped this team this year, it's not just about 2020. It's about 2020, 2021, 2022, and maybe the next 3-4 years after that.
I think the Bills and the Chiefs, of course, would be this. You know, maybe Baltimore would be this. These teams are just like, they're capable, they're worthy of thinking about winning now, if not more sure of it. But they're not like New Orleans, maybe, or a team where like the quarterback's going to retire and then go to the Hall of Fame in broadcasting. Like, this is it. A team like that that's been in the window for several years, they could stay there, but they may not. So, or New England last year maybe is that team too. So like these teams are in a different, they could, what I'm saying is obvious. The Chiefs and the Bills could do the same thing next year, you know? Like,
yeah,
if their records aren't, you know, reversed or something, they could be this way for a while. Any year where you have a sniff, you want to think like this. So good for them.
Yeah, I mean, we've been so accustomed to the same teams kind of, you know, dominating the conference for a long period, and I think that would be New England, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, you know, obviously for off years here or there. Pittsburgh hasn't been the same in the last few years. I think we're entering a time now where the Bills and Chiefs are going to be in that conversation of you're going to have to get through them. Whichever one it is on a yearly basis, it looks like they're going to be right there in the thick of things. Baltimore too. You know, and Pittsburgh's always been consistent. We'll see what happens after Ben is gone. But I think the Bills and Chiefs are going to be right there with the teams that every year for the next several years, if you want to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you're going to have to at least think about them and going through them.
Well, having said all this, there is still space between the Bills and the Chiefs. And it's still only the regular season. The playoffs are where these things get finalized. But Monday, of course, among other things, it's important in the standings, and it's also important maybe to fans, at least, to us at least, to sort of show how the Bills compare with Kansas City, because this is the top dog.
Yeah, I think it's important to the team, too. I think it's important to the players. I think they understand what this team represents, their opponent this week. They know where they've been. It's kind of like, you know, the Patriots in the division. We've heard a lot of players say for the last year or so, that's the standard. That's where we have to, if we want to be the division champion, we have to beat them. You have to go through them. They know that if they want to be an ultimate conference champion and Super Bowl champion, they have to go through this team, the Kansas City Chiefs. It is a bar. It's a representation, you know, on the outside as much as it is a competition on the inside. So yeah, there's no doubt about that. And to be honest with you, we can't get in the locker room this year. You guys know that, you know, I'm not around the players per se, but I'm still at practice. And I can still kind of, you know, feel. I think I have a good gauge of what I think about what's going on at practice and the vibe I get and the feeling and things like that. And I got to tell you, I've loved what I've experienced this week. I think that last week was weird because of just the uncertainty. It really was. Even us going to practice, not knowing. It started on Wednesday, the Titans stuff that we already knew about that was going on. This was even before that the league had to make all these decisions they had to make. It just seemed it was a very strange week of practice. You felt uneasy about it. I have not felt that way this week. I feel really good. When Bulldog opened the show and said, oh man, like it's a big game on a Friday and it's a football weekend in the fall. Like I felt that this week. I think to me, I've really, really liked the vibe I've got out of practice this week and what it means to this team.
Well, good. I'm glad that you felt that. And I was going to ask you, like, what sort of feel from the Tennessee game? I don't know if that got talked about much this week. I mean, it's been, like you said, it's been a weird week. But, like, I wonder if they are okay with how it went. I mean, in the end, they just put it behind you and just, you know, realize that maybe the distractions got the best of you or whatever it was, and you learned something from it. But you feel like they're in a good place.
I do. I feel like they're in a really good place. I feel like that game was one of those, and I don't want it to sound like, it's not like you didn't care about it or anything like that, but it's one like, let's get through this. You know what I mean? Like one of those types, maybe in the back of your mind, let's just get through this thing and go forward because of all the uncertainty that's going on, all the changes that happened, the routine was thrown off, and they got through that. And it was not good, right? Probably way worse than they ever thought it was. Even if they thought they'd have a struggle or, you know, they knew they'd be without guys, to lose the way they did, I think that was also a, hey, come on now, we got to be better than this. But it was, to me, it was a turning of the page pretty quickly from what I could see and what's going on out of practice, including the guys that are already back, you know, getting out in the field and getting ready to play. Having a shorter week might help here because, you know, Micah Hyde even said that in his Zoom call after the game, which is, hey, you got a shorter week. It's actually good to kind of forget about it as quick as possible. You don't have to sit with this thing. So I think they turned the page pretty quickly from what I can tell as far as the vibe is concerned.
I had to figure out whether it was a shorter week, but it does turn out to be a shorter week. Tuesday to Monday is a new one. Sal Capaccio with us here on the Duntire Roundtable. Sal, the defense has struggled, and here comes Kansas City. What is the state of things? Injuries, whatever kind of questions they're asking or things they're struggling with. How do you see it?
Well, look, they have to have all hands on deck, and specifically Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano, I think, if they really want to defend this team the right way. They just have to. You can't match up personnel-wise unless you have your best. And the Bills, in this year, they have good players on their team, on their defense, and they're going to need those good players because if you have to start dipping into the depth chart again, and those guys have to start going up against Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce, you're in for a long day. We already know how good Patrick Mahomes is. There's no doubt about that. But if you can at least try to slow down some of their guys because your guys are good and can cover them, you know, it's gonna go a long way. But I really believe the key to this game is going to be doing what the Raiders did, which is getting to Patrick Mahomes a little bit with four players. And the Bills have struggled to do that. If they can find a way to do that, they will have a chance in this game because I think they can score. If they can find a way to get some sort of pressure with four guys and move Patrick Mahomes away from his spot, and then have to read only half the field rolling out, and then you suddenly got four guys in coverage out there on that side of the field, you know, I think it's going to be a little tougher. But that's a challenge because they certainly haven't been able to do that in the first five games or so.
And health-wise, you sort of alluded to it there. Like, we're feeling pretty good about everything as opposed to last week when the Bills were really in the weeds on injuries?
Yeah, it looks like it, Bulldog. I mean, Tre'Davious White was a full participant today. John Brown was a full participant today and yesterday. And the one that's surprising to me is Matt Milano. You know, when you deal with a pec injury, that's usually a longer-term injury. So when the first time it even came out that was a pec injury, I thought he was going to be probably even placed on IR. When they didn't place him on IR, my thought was, okay, well, I guess that means they feel he could come back within 3 weeks. I don't know if he's playing this week, obviously, but it's a great sign that he's already back at practice and in full capacity and not even wearing a red non-contact jersey, which Tremaine Edmonds is still wearing, actually, with his shoulder injury.
Right.
Sal, how about Josh Norman kind of shown up in that one play against Derrick Henry? That's not what he's exactly paid to do, and Derrick Henry can make a lot of guys look small, I guess. What's his level of play and his importance here?
I was concerned about what I saw on Tuesday night. I don't think the Josh Norman on Tuesday night is the Josh Norman they hope to get, but I also think he was playing a different role than they expect, which is the number one corner. And on the opposite of him was a guy that was making his NFL debut on the defensive side of the ball in Cam Lewis. You know, that just was not a good situation for everybody. But he's a veteran. I thought he should have been better than what he was. But he also was only playing in his second game. He also had, you know, he's coming off an injury, things like that. So there's probably some mitigating circumstances, but I still think he needed to play better than he did. I was impressed with Cam Lewis, though, to be honest with you guys. I think Cam Lewis deserves more playing time. Now, whether that's for Josh Norman or even Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson, to me, didn't have a very good game. I think Cam Lewis needs to start. They need to start letting him at least fight for some playing time here, because the way that, you know, the secondary has played and the way they played on Tuesday night, if you're going to preach, you know, jobs and competition and things like that, I think that guy at least deserves a shot.
He really stood out a couple of times on some tackles of Henry. Talking about Henry,
like, yes,
Lewis did a really good job, and like I'm not the former coach like you, but like fundamentally looked pretty sound on those tackles. 100%. And you know, it's pretty stark. I thought Norman Sal. I mean, I haven't studied his career, but if he's had a worse game in the NFL than the one he had Tuesday night, I mean, they probably destroyed the tape to protect the innocent. I mean, he was bad, and the fact that it was a rookie first time practice squad elevation opposite him and they still targeted Norman tells you like how badly I think he got beat.
Yep. I agree with you. So obviously, you know, that's something he's going to have to improve on. And I think, you know, it's one of those deals where same thing with Star Lotulelei where, okay, people, you know, say, oh, what good does he do? You don't need him on the roster. And then he's gone and you realize, oh, you know what? He might be pretty good for what they want. Well, it's the same thing to me with Levi Wallace. Right, I mean, Levi Wallace is a guy that's had his struggles. We all know that. But Levi Wallace has also made some plays for this team, and I think that he's still shown to be maybe the best option you have opposite Tre'Davious White, and you don't have him right now. And the other part, one, the guys I'll point to, and of course he's had injuries, but E.J. Gaines opting out is hurting this team at this point, you know, because they don't have that extra guy, a veteran, to turn to at depth. They had to call up Dane Jackson from the practice squad last week. So you're talking about not only Cam Lewis, but Dane Jackson, who's a rookie. You know, you don't want to have to go that route. Saran Neal really hasn't had much playing time on defense. He's really more of a special teams guy, but he's a break glass in case of emergency guy, but you don't want to do that. So yeah, I think their depth is being tested, and really the key guy there is Josh Norman. If he can play better, then that depth is looking a lot better.
It's a big gamble by the Bills, and it may have a lot to say in how this season turns out. The Bills struggling in the secondary. A lot of teams are. I think a lot of teams may be having the same conversation. How do we stop people? I forgot. We don't have the bodies. What are we supposed to do? 8 DBs. Like, what are we supposed to do here? It's been that kind of year in the league. More of the Duntire Roundtable with Sal Capaccio and us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, coming up. We'll talk about Denver and New England maybe in peril again this week and just where we stand in the league as teams combat, if you will, the COVID-19 problem here that we all are dealing with. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio. Happy Friday. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I mean, I already got a veteran, man. I got TJ Yeldon. He's been in the league for about 6-7 years. That's a veteran. But, you know, without Frank, you know, he taught me a lot. We got great guys in our room, great older guys as well. They've been in the league 6+ years. So they able to help us young guys, me and Moss, see things that we maybe didn't see. They might tell us. So I feel like we got great veteranship in our room already.
Devin Singletary. We don't need Le'Veon Bell because he's a veteran. We've got that already. Bell, now a member of the Chiefs, but he won't be able to join them even until after the game. There's a whole thing where they have to wait 5 days and be tested every day, and then the sixth day they get a different test where they are if they're able to be negative throughout, then they can go in. So he might be available to them next week. I think they play the Bills play the Jets next week, right?
Yes.
I knew one of these teams played the Jets next week. It's just hard to stop thinking about the Jets if you're me. Sal,
I think the Chiefs play the Jets in 2 weeks then, I think.
Yes. The three teams on his short list were the Jets' next three opponents, Miami,
that's right,
Buffalo, and Kansas City. All right. Joe says you wanted to do something here.
I didn't know if you had brought up. I know you talked about the over-under in this game, right? You asked your last guest. You're
57.
57, is it?
Yep.
Well, according to research from Pro Football Reference, Stathead now, that's the highest over-under ever in the history of a Bills game.
All right, all right.
And on top of that, the three highest games they've ever had, including this one, were all this year.
For totals.
Yes. Wow. 53 against Vegas and 52 against Tennessee last week.
Those are the high... The
wait a minute, wait, hold on, wait, let me see... Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. That is not correct. That is not correct. I was looking at the dates, just the dates. Okay. But they have been over 50 twice this year. So scratch what I just said, but it is the highest ever total. It is the highest ever total. And it is the highest total they've had in any game, guys. Ooh, geez. I have to go back back a while, but I'll have to look. But it's been a while since they've had, you know, anything even like this.
Are you saying this is 57 would be their highest total ever or not?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's their highest total ever. I just looked from any game since the merger, including playoffs or regular season, I sorted out every single over, under, over 50 for the Bills, and the highest I'm showing is 54.5 up until this week.
Okay. They played a game against Kansas City where the final score was, oh boy, I like being able to nail scores, but this one I'm not going to get. 56-35, maybe? Edwards, Thigpen?
Yeah, remember but that over-under wasn't even.
No, I know, I know. The over-under was definitely not 91. but that's not going to be the exact score, but you guys remember it at Arrowhead.
Yeah, they had a Fitz game, too, that was a big high-scoring game, I think.
41-14, I think. At Kansas City?
Yeah,
that was the opener, right?
Opening day, yep, that's right, that's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's every reason to think points here. I don't know what stats look like on totals, guys, but I would guess that overs are crushing. I mean, that's something, too, that I did not expect this year. You know, the conventional thinking was, I got to stop doing conventional thinking, using it. Like, you know, no preseason, and it'll be sloppy and, you know, whatever. But really, we've just seen a league where points, right. I mean, I'm not thinking, not even that long ago about this game, I would have thought, well, you know, what would people say, like, in the day? Run the ball. Keep them off the field. Just, you know, control the clock. Field position. All this kind of stuff. I don't care about any of it. I think I'm going to have to score with them because they're going to score, unless, you know, turnovers wreck them. And if I don't score in the 30s, I'll lose.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think field position or... time of possession matter in games like this, where you can strike from anywhere and at any time? I think those things can matter in certain games. They mattered last week a bit. We talked about this a bit, where, you know, the Titans really forced the Bills to be patient, and the Bills turned the ball over, and, you know, that really hurt them. But in a game like this, you know, it doesn't matter if you hold the ball for 7 minutes or 27 minutes. You could score from the 20 or the other team's 20, so it doesn't really matter. This game's really just going to come down to, I think, probably big plays, guys, and whichever team makes big plays. And whether that's on offense, defense, or special teams, they can come from anywhere. You know, even the Raiders made some big plays on defense against the Chiefs last week, which helped them.
I'll tell you what, a lot of what you're saying here sounds to me like the constructing of the game plan, and that is brought to you by Admar Construction and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, most recently, you know, you'd watch the Bills on Tuesday against Tennessee, and you might be a little worried, like, can they keep up? And really, they could have scored against Tennessee, and you would have worried that they could keep up against Kansas City anyway, because Kansas City is just that good. So, like, that is the thing. Like, to be going into this game here, like we're talking about, and be thinking that it's not far-fetched for the Bills. Like, I'm not sitting here going, well, they're going to need to score on defense, and they're going to need a return from Andre Roberts. Like, how do you pull the upset over the juggernaut Super Bowl champs? Instead, it's just like, well, go play your game. You know, go play mm-hmm. how you played against the Raiders and against the Rams. And, you know, we'll just watch the scoreboard go crazy and see who gets the ball last.
I agree with you. You know, and I'm looking at numbers and rankings, and, you know, the Chiefs on defense, for example, they're not very good stopping the run. But that could also just be a product of, you know what, teams are really far behind, so they throw a lot, and then towards the end of the game, they just say, we're just going to hand it off because it's kind of like get out of dodge here. You never know. You know, and they just make sure the teams can't beat them, throwing the ball over the top to hang with them. But, you know, the Bills might have an opportunity to do something like that. They're not a juggernaut on defense. They've played good defense. Over the last, you know, last year, around half the way through the season, Spagnuolo really started to get that defense going. And that was a really big reason why they actually went on to do what they did towards the end of the regular season and then into the playoffs. But obviously not discounting their great offense. But it's a defense that will present opportunities for you to score. And the Bills just need to take advantage of that. And they need to score like they did against the Rams in the first half. I mean, really, the Bills just took advantage of every opportunity they had to make big plays. They connected. They scored a lot. Thankfully, it was enough at the end of the day, considering what happened in the second half. But that it reminds me of that, which is, hey, they're going to give you chances. You just can't miss when they do.
We had, of course, a lot of suspense, if you will, about the Bills-Titans game. What would they do? How would they get the game in? Would it be a, quote, Week 18 game and everything? And, of course, they got in there. They got to Tuesday and played it. Here we have Denver and New England this week, postponed last week, and as recently as today, the Patriots have a new positive test with a player. They may have two. Anybody think they won't play this game this weekend if there are no new developments? Like, my attitude has been they are going to get these games in. Now they have. Mm-hmm. Now Denver and New England are teams that have had their bye week, so I mean, even if they played it just from here, it would be a little bit, you could question it because there was a positive test today.
I mean, maybe they play it on Monday opposite the Bills game. I don't know, right? Who knows? But you're right, Mike. I agree with you that I thought this, I could see this happening from a mile away, which was, oh, we have a chance to kind of move these games and because there's bye week. So let's do that out of an abundance of caution. You know, let's do that.
Thank you.
And then, but once you absorb those bye weeks, no, you can't really do that. You know what? We saw that with the Bills last week. I maintain that if the Titans had played the Steelers the week before, the Bills never would have played the Titans last week. There's no way. Mm-hmm. I think they would have just said, you know what? We're not moving to Tuesday. You guys just don't have to play. We can just create a bye week for you.
Well, we'll see what happens with Denver and the Patriots. There was talk of a second player, I think I just said, but we don't know. The Broncos have already had their bye, and they practiced. They worked all the way through it because they didn't know they weren't going to have the game with New England. 5 o'clock and then 8:15, I guess, Monday. Bills-Chiefs and then Cardinals-Cowboys. Wonder if they would go to Tuesday again. Quickly, do you guys want Tuesday games to become a thing? Not because of COVID, but what did that do for you, a game on Tuesday night?
I don't need it. I you know, the Thursday has kind of grown on me. So, I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of missed it yesterday. So, I don't need another night. Like, you know, we've got college if you want it on Saturday, Sunday, of course, all day, Monday night. Give me a break. Tuesday, Wednesday, let me, like, collect myself, you know, let me do some other things, remember what my family looks like, and then Thursday, crank it back up. I'm all right. I don't need a Tuesday night.
I don't need it either, but I would absolutely watch it if it was. I would get into it. If there's a Tuesday night game, I'm going to be like, oh, there's football tonight. All right, I got something to watch. I can sit down and watch it. Now, even that being said, I'm okay with Maction on Tuesday night. Give me some Maction and I'm okay. I don't need the NFL. I can still have some good Maction going on. But, you know, I would say it's just, come on. What is the NFL doing that for? We all know it would be for money or whatever. It just wouldn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right. But I got to be honest with you guys. If they created Tuesday night football, I'm sitting in front of the TV and watching it.
Yeah, for fantasy, it's just a disaster, almost a disaster. It's just there's so much that there's a routine. Waivers,
yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, there's then the Thursday game, lineups Thursday. I missed it too. And then kind of Friday, Saturday are your breather, I think, really, for fantasy. But Tuesday really pushes into it, and a lot of my leagues, we had to scramble. Does the Tuesday game count? Yes. Then waivers get pushed back, and everybody's got questions. Just a lot of, you know, you could play in one league and not have the same amount of, you know, stuff. That's probably what,
you know,
would be sane to do.
Can I bring this up, Mike, that the article, or there was some talk about it, and Howard and Jeremy were talking this morning about an article about Tuesday Night Football, and maybe Peter King or someone had written about it, and they said, well, if they really did it, they'd have to structure it that every team gets a bye after that. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's more time between Tuesday, Sunday than there is between Sunday, Thursday. I would still prefer a team have a bye before playing Thursday than having to give them bye after Tuesday, if that makes sense. I mean, Tuesday, you can get to Sunday. You still have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You have 4 days in between. But between Sunday and Thursday, there's only 3 days.
Only three.
So if you want to do that, give the bye on the Thursday before on the Sunday before the Thursday game, not on the Sunday after the Tuesday game.
I'm just writing all that down. I like it.
I know.
I like it. For the player's sake. For the
That's
player's
why
sake.
That's confusing.
Yep. Yes. Well, there's a lot to think about here. Sal Capaccio with us, Mike Schopen and the Bulldog. It is the Dunn Tire Roundtable, and we'll continue next here on WGR.
I wouldn't consider it. I want to see everything I can without any vision impairment. But I will say it does have like these little spots in the visor where it kind of makes it harder to see. So it trains your eyes a little differently. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but just a little challenge in practice, I guess.
Josh Allen talking about wearing a visor in practice. I wear a visor all the time. Even Sweet. On the air. I mean, not just in practice. When I practice for this show, sometimes I'll wear it, and then in here I'll also wear it.
That was an old hockey reference.
What'd you say?
I called you Swede. Sorry.
Okay, right. The Swedes.
Sundin's wearing a visor.
Yeah, that was a sign of weakness to some?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Makes a lot of sense. The Dunn Tire Roundtable, Sal Capaccio joins us. One thing, let's at least touch on this. I think a lot of fans are talking about it. This story, how the team is applying for the trademark of Bills Mafia. And I don't know, right? Like, how much do you need, you know? Like, it's sort of, this is kind of the fans thing, but I'm, of course, no lawyer. It does have the Bills name in it.
You're
so
right.
I don't know where it goes, but it's just a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of things have been in the last, I don't know, however many months here, 9 months, 8 months. Like, the optics are bad, but, you know, I think I talked this through with my wife. Like, I was, come on. And I'm like, well, it is their name. I'll bet. So I'm thinking, like, well, why didn't, like, Del Reed go try to trademark that? And, like, I guess he has addressed that in the past, maybe even pretty recently. Like, you probably can't because the name is already trademarked, so you can't trademark a trademark name, so you're sort of stuck. But, yeah, I mean, nobody needed to see that news. I you know.
Sal, do the fans need a new name, a new nickname?
Right.
No, but I'll tell you guys, I don't know if you've seen, but this afternoon, Dell, who's a friend of mine, he did tweet out that PSC and the Bills have reached out to him and the other people that have done 26 shirts and Bills Mafia. He said, I'll read it to you. It says, we're looking forward to working with them to ensure the Bills Mafia community continues to do what it always has done, rally behind the team and support our community. So apparently they have had, you know, those discussions and on whatever level that is. But yeah, that is the reason why they could not trademark it, is because you can't trademark the name Bills. You just can't do it. It's not, it's so, you know, they looked into that a long time ago, and it just it can't happen.
Well, good for them. I mean, I was about to say, like, you'd hope that the Bills do something to, you know, make Dell whole or whatever, you know, just give them a seat at the table, so to speak, you know, because they have done a lot of good for a lot of people here. Dell has, and everyone involved with 26 shirts. I mean, they've done a fantastic job. So,
all right, Sal, what are you doing tomorrow?
Practice. The Bills have practice tomorrow.
So work.
I gotta go out to practice.
Syracuse.
Yeah, I gotta go out to practice tomorrow.
Syracuse is a home underdog to Liberty.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I know Liberty's a pretty good football team, but they're not.
Do they have a 50,000 seat dome, Liberty?
No.
Get it together.
Hey, look, I appreciate all this Syracuse Liberty talk, but we have not dashed around the league yet.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good. That's important.
Other big NFL stories brought to you by Dash's Market. Well, shop the family of finer foods at Dash's Markets. Brown Steelers, Sal, is really juicy to me.
It is, and I think that's probably the best 1 o'clock window game, right? I mean, that looks like it is to me like the one that you kind of want to focus on and see what are these two teams, you know, about against each other. Other than maybe Broncos Patriots, just for everything that's going on, if you're interested in that. I actually found myself having a hard time today. I'm still alive in both my Survivor pool and my death pool. And I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins in Survivor because it just looks like it's got to be the best play, but I can't even believe I'm saying that on the air that I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins.
You have been warned. You have been warned. Ryan Fitzpatrick, we know the deal.
Would you like to give me another team? Because I've already used
Mr. Jet. Listen to Mr. Jet. He's always on the Jets. All they do is lose.
Well, the key
loves the Jets.
Patriots, but I'm so worried about everything going on with them and who, you know, somebody's not going to play. And I mean, I don't know.
I think that's probably pretty safe. You want to avoid the team that everybody else is taking, and you never want to save anybody. That's my advice.
I don't.
Never save anybody.
I don't save anyone. I don't. I agree with you. I don't do that. The death pool is harder because I've already taken the Jets. Now, I could take the Broncos in the death pool. Again, I'm just a little scared of that. Drew Lock is back. I'm not saying they're really good. I think they can score some points, and I just want to know, like, who's playing or not playing for the Patriots, and what does that all look like? I don't know.
I think – I don't see a line on that game, which makes sense, but I would be pretty comfortable
with
New England.
Nine?
Yeah. That's about the same as Miami. I'd be pretty comfortable with New England. Probably. I'd be more comfortable with New England than with Indianapolis.
Indy is the play, but I've already used both Indy and the Survivor, and I've used – I mean, Cincinnati last week, even in the death pool.
I'm writing down Cincy for the picks. Like, Rivers giving eight. Burrow's good. I mean, there's a little buster there, too, with the Bengals, because they had a terrible week at Baltimore, but a lot of teams do. I don't know about the Colts. So many times, I have wanted to think that the Colts are ready to, like, just take off. But, man, the quarterback's
Rivers,
not
man.
Good. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's
no,
just
he's not,
not
no.
happening.
No.
I heard a good question on a national show today. I was listening. I know we have to get out of here, but I'll ask you guys. It wasn't Ellen, Dr. Phil. I don't know. Should either New York team get rid of the current quarterback if they have a chance at Trevor Lawrence?
Of course.
Yeah, both of them should.
I think so. Okay. Of course. Yeah. I mean,
we'll see. We'll see what Jones does, but Darnold, I don't know. I'd say yes.
It's what's done. You know, it's what's done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Darnold's probably the quicker one to say yes to because of where they are with Jones. Although I like Darnold more than I like Jones. You just haven't given Jones enough time, but it's probably right to say yes to either one of those.
Sal, thanks.
Okay, guys.
Dunn Tire Roundtable. That's it for this week. Sal will be with us, of course, on Monday, game day, on our pregame coverage of Bills Chiefs. So can't wait. Next picks, Mike Shope and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.